So we're up to Tanya, which is, we already got more than halfway down. Nadav's about four lines below that. We have Tanya, le'ahavat Hashem lokecha, lishmoa bekolo ledav kobo. So the Braita analyzes the pasuk. What is la'avat Hashem lokecha, lishmoa bekolo ledav kobo implying? It means, look, the ahava is the issue. Shlo yomar adam mikra shikreini chacham. But people will say, I'm a great chacham if I'm a boki and I know all of Tanakh, or Hashaneh, I'll know all the Mishnayot and Halakot, Shikroni Rebbe, Hashanein, Sheyeh Zakein, Veyeshev Yeshiva, and I'll become a big boki in Halachas and the Gemara, because I want the covet of being a Zakein Yeshev Yeshiva. Ella, actually, what you're really supposed to do is Lemod Mi'ahava, V'sof HaKavod Lavo. It's not your business, the Kavod. Kavod comes to those who learn, but the learning is done out of love. Sheneemar. Because we find that Shlomo HaMelech says, Koshrim al etzbotecha, Kotveim al luach libecha. Have things on your fingertips, is the way we would say it. So know the material, be connected to the material, wear them as a necklace, Amdeim al gadolotecha, wear them as a necklace around your neck. And then it says, Drachea darche noam, and it concludes, Etzchaim limachzikim avetomchea meushar. So in other words, those who are involved in the chizuk of Torah, they end up, in fact, sof hakavod lavo, tomchei meushar. But that's a given. That's not a pursuit. If you pursue it, you don't get that. It's like sort of like happiness. So tomchei meushar, I want to talk about happiness. You can't make happiness your goal. It's something that comes. Here too, this is something that comes from the learning. Rabbi Eliezer bar Rabbi Tzadok omer. The Kalam is Asei Devarim L'Shem Po'olam V'daber Behem L'Shmam. Very, very important Mikor over here, which is part of the fundamental Machloket about the nature of Limud Torah Ba'al Peh, Limud Torah L'Shma. Notice that we distinguish between Asiya and Dibur. So the Asei Devarim, the Asiyat HaMitzvot is L'Shem Po'olam. Those who made the mitzvot, who was mitzav on the mitzvot, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when it says to learn, it says daber b'am lishmam. It doesn't say for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as the Rush points out, Torah lishma means literally what it says. Torah for its own sake, lishma. Lishma shel Torah, not lishma shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that there's a tremendous difference. The mitzvah, the act, is done out of love of God. But the Torah is an object that needs to be connected to for its own sake. Otherwise, if you're learning Torah because God said to learn Torah, you're not learning Torah, because you really couldn't care less about the Torah. So the point over here is the connectedness to the Torah. You'll take a look at the way the Rush explains it. Very beautiful. Kol diburecho mesa'echa b'divrei Torah yihye l'shem ha-Torah kegon leida la'avin la'osif lekach u'pilpo. The point has to be the Torah per se. So this is biduyak v'miduyak in the Po'alam and Lishma. That's a big machloket with the Hasidim, or the Balei Hasidut. All learn Torah Lishma. On the contrary, it's not the point here to discuss it. But in the Ilchot Teshuvah, we discussed it at length. The Rambam Shita and the way. That there's not really two different issues here. Al ta'aseh matara l'tgadel behem. Don't make them a crown to get your covered with. Al ta'aseh kardon liot oderbo. And don't make it a hoe for you to be doing your hoeing with, meaning don't use it for making money with. So one is kavod, the other one is money. And you take a look at the kavachom. Uma bel shatzar. Shalom ishtamesh al beklei kodesh inasu klei chol ne'ekar min olam. If Belshazzar, who because he used what were once clay kodesh and became clay chol, was destroyed, as we learned yesterday, Babel Eliyak, and that very night they killed Belshazzar, HaMishtamesh B'Kitra Shel Torah, Alachat Kama V'Kama, somebody who uses the crown of Torah, certainly the writing is on the wall. It's very interesting, by the way, since this is the last time we'll come to this here, and yesterday it said that we darshan this from Ubo'u Ba'pritzim V'chilalua. Kivan sheparutzum naasu chol. So once they were parutz, they became chol. There's a very important machlokas rishonim as to why that's true. Why, if you were parutz, the Beit HaMikdash, did they become chol? So the Ramban says they became chol. Well, let's start first from the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor says that they become chol because the pritzim that are being referred to in the pasuk are Jews. So when the goyim invaded the Beit HaMikdash, naturally all of the pritzim of the Jews were with them. They joined up the goyim. So because of that, they were mayel, the hegdash. This is the original leftist group. You know, we have to be. So because of that, there's been a me'ilah. Jews can be mayel. The guy can't be mayel. But a Jew who's mayel takes the kedusha off of the things that he uses. Because of this, they lost their kedusha. The Ramban says that that's ridiculous. That's not what it's talking about. It means exactly what it says. Bobo prisim is obviously not a reference to Pashas and the Pasuk to Jews. It means that the invasion force came and were machalo. So the Ramban learns that it's gzirata katuv, that once Eretz Yisrael, the Beit HaMikdash, is parutz, once it's invaded and taken over by goyim, the Shechina is mistaleket, it takes away the kedusha. Now, a major nafkamina between those two shitot would seem to be that, according to the Baal HaMor, he doesn't say it here, he says it in Avodah Zarah, so to say. They bring a riot from this Gemara against him. Because according to the Baal HaMor, that we're referring to the issue of Mi'ilah, it shouldn't affect the Kalim which were Kodesh Kedushas Aguf, which were Klei Sharet, which is the passions of what happened in Baal Shatzar. They took out the Klei HaMikdash, which had been the Klei Sharet, and he was using them. Because Mi'ilah only takes away the monetary value, it's Bechalo, from Hekdash. It doesn't take away the Kedusha, per se. If you use a carbon for something else, you don't take off the Kedusha of the carbon, you would use a Klei Sharet for something else. You don't pass it from being a Klei Sharet. So how does he learn this sugya? This they bring us a Bikasha on the Baal HaMor. Okay. Just a very interesting side point.
We know why you're not allowed to use the covenant of the Torah for your benefit.
Do you know why we're not allowed to use telephones in the middle of Daf Yomi? Do you?
You have a sculpture, you pay a lot of money to a sculpture for his greatness.
We're going to get to this in a minute. Okay. We're going to get to this. This is actually the very next point. Omar Rava, Shori Leila Inish Lodue Nafshe, Ba'atra de Loyodale. A person can identify himself and say what he is in a place where he is not known. Because we find that Ovadia tells now Eliyahu about himself. He says, Aba avdecha yarei at Hashem min urav. Don't ask me, please. I know what's going to happen. You're going to get me killed. I'm supposed to go to Ahav, and I'm going to say, I just happened to bump into Eliyahu down the street. He's been spending the past year looking for you, spent millions trying to find you, and I should tell him, I met Eliyahu walking down the street, and then by the time he gets here, of course, you will have disappeared, and I'm dead. Don't do this to me. I am, after all, a man who from his early youth was a Yorei Hashem. Now, how does a person tell somebody, I was a Yorei Hashem my whole life? That sounds like an awfully big thing to say about yourself. You're allowed to, because people need to know what you are in order to relate to you properly according to whom you are. So ask the Gemara, but if that's the case, then Reb Tarfa didn't do anything wrong. So the Kasha Reb Tarfa. Reb Tarfa was simply doing what Ovadia did. If Ovadia could tell Eliyahu that I'm a Yorei Hashem, so why can't Rebbe Tarfa say I'm a Talmud Chacham? What's he beating himself for? Says the Gemara, that's true. But, as we answered yesterday, Roshani Rabbi Tarfon Dashir Gadol Haya Vahavi Leila Faise Bedomim. This is done only as a matter of last resort. So if it has to do with the particular relationship that you're talking about, it's necessary for Eliyahu to know that he's dealing with the Yorei Shamayim, okay? Rav Tarfon, obviously, nobody had to know he was a Talmud Chacham. They just had to let him go and not throw him into the water and drown him like a rat. So therefore, wasn't necessary. You shouldn't have done. Obviously, it's a Midas Chassidus. Rava, Rami, Rava actually points out, it seems to be a stira. On the one hand, it says, V'avdachai yoreat Hashem inu Rav, that your servant has feared the Lord from his youth, and yet, does it not say, Yalalucha zar velo picha? Somebody else can say good things about you. Your own mouth shouldn't be the thing saying good things about yourself. And here he's saying about himself. And he answered it. That obviously it depends. In a place where people know who you are, so then don't toot your horn. Why are you tooting your horn? People can know who you are. Know about it. If people don't know you, then it's necessary for them to know the interpersonal reaction. It's a transactional issue here. So a transactional issue, it's necessary for people to know the nature of the transaction. It is mutter for a Talmud Chacham to say, I am a Talmud Chacham, please complete my business first, because that's a professional courtesy. It's not a din in I'm taking advantage of the Torah. These are things that were given over as part of the schus of what's like saying a Kohen shouldn't say I'm a Kohen to get Truma. That's what the whole point is. You're supposed to give Truma to the Kohen, and in this it's not a personal matter. It's a professional matter, so to speak. It's a generic matter. I am a Kohen. Okay, so give me Truma. I am a Talmud Chacham, whatever the dinim of the Talmud Chachamim are, including finishing my business. Tagar is literally business. So Tigroi Bereish, we would say in English, please complete my business, or let me complete my business. And you're saying, let me finish my business first. So and that's indeed the halacha. If he's coming into court, he has a right to say that I have to be pushed up. I can't be sitting in line and wasting my day. So he's allowed to do that. Dichtiv, where do we see this? Because it says, Uvnei David Kohanim. Well, what is that supposed to be? V'chida b'nei David Kohanim. Since when were the children of David Kohanim? Ella comes to tell me that what it means, Ma Kohen, notel barosh, alftamit chacham, notel barosh, it's coming to tell me that it is indeed exactly the same relationship as a Kohen. A Kohen, you don't consider him to be in violation of some type of personal covenant that is utilizing the kohuna. That's what he's supposed to be. So he has to tell you that he's a Kohen because there are those things that a Kohen gets. And we put him together with the kohuna if he's a Talmud Chacham, because obviously B'nai David were not Kohanim. So therefore, the same way that a Kohen is notel barosh, a Talmud Chacham is notel barosh. How do we know that a Kohen is notel barosh? Maybe indeed a Kohen is only supposed to get Truma. No, because it says, you must give him Kiddushan. Well, what is that supposed to mean, V'kiddashto? It means make him special. In what way do you make him special? Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. Kiddashto l'chol davar shebekiddusha, liftoach rishon. He's the person who should get the first aliyah. He should be poteach kriyat haTorah. Levarech rishon. If you're going to give birkat hamazon, you should give the birkat hamazon to the Kohen. Litom nayafar rishon. If he's doing a chalukah, you're splitting something. Split it in half and let him choose which half is his. Okay, so then that's all part of making him special. That's the meaning of the kiddashto. If that's the case, it's true over here from the pasuk of David, it's true of anyone who's in a position of chashivut, that the treating him this way is exactly the same way that you would treat him as a kohen. It's also mutter, because this too is part of the courtesy to Talmid Chachamim. It's a generic courtesy that he's not taking personal advantage of. They're not mechuyev to pay certain taxes, and therefore he can say, lo yavina nacharga, I'm not paying that tax. Then we find this, by the way, in a very early source, because we find that when they sent to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, so that there was a tzivui that was sent along together with the people that came from the Melech, and that wrote out to the governors of the province, that said to them, Beferish, tell them that the things that other people pay, which is the that we're going to analyze which these various taxes are, but that the minda and the velo and the halach lo shalita mirma alehom, you do not have power to place over these people who are coming to rebuild the Beit Hashem. So you see that part of government courtesy extends to those people who are involved in religious issues, and sometimes the government will give them off. That's not considered to be taking advantage of the Torah. That's like saying the government will give it the deferment to the draft. So therefore, you're not allowed to say you're a Talmud Chacham in order that they should defer the draft. That's part of what the government does. That's exactly what Daryavish does. So what are these things, by the way, says the Gemara? Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Minda is the Menat HaMelech. That's the piece of the action that goes, it's like the Suda that's given to the Melech. The Balo is referring to Karga, which is the Kesef Gulgalta, that's the head tax. The Halach is Arnona. By the way, it's a brilliant run on where the language comes from, Arnona. That Arnona is meant to be a tax which everybody participates in. We use it today for the city tax. City taxes for garbage collection and so on. That's called Arnona. He says the makor of that is the Posaki Arnon Gvul Moav Bein Moav Bein Emori. Isn't that amazing? So Arnon is a place where two elements mix. It's like a no man's land, which was a common land. It was a common land between the Gvul Moav and the Gvul Emori. So you see that you use common taxes. The Lashon is Arnona. Gosh, amazing. More than that, says Rava, you should know that even though he's a Talmud Chacham, he can translate his being a Talmud Chacham, even a Talmud Chacham, into something that a Goy can relate to. So let's say they had priests, the Zoroastrians, they were living at that period. So they had priests that were the priests of fire, right? So they would go around lighting these fires and maintaining the fire burning in the temple and so on. A Tzur Mirabonan can say to the government that I am an Avda Denura, Lo Yavina Acharga, I'm a priest, or I work for the priesthood, and I don't pay taxes. Because Lamaisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Eish Ochla. So I worship the fire, it's true. Of course, it's a different fire. But it's true in your terms. That's the way you relate to it. You could say that also. And therefore, I'm not going to pay taxes.
Yes, well, this is how we pay taxes.
Is this why Goyim are allowed to have churches without paying taxes here?
No, maybe. We have to pay them back for all the taxes we didn't pay over the years, huh? In the Galut.
No,
my timer.
They're part of the. Whatever they're praying for, they're praying for something.
No, but that's not what it's referring to. It isn't the courtesy that's granted religion. It's the way of getting out of paying taxes. My timer. Lavruchi ayarmine kama. It's clear what he's saying is that he's trying to chase away the lion, otherwise known as the IRS, and he's trying to chase that away. So nobody's taking seriously that he's really saying that he's a member of the priesthood. They understand that it's a way in which he's referring to his own business that they can relate to, but they don't really think this guy with his payas and his trimo is going to be going into church the next morning. Ravashi Aveleyahu Abba. So Ravashi had a guy in his shir, his name was Abba, and also used to use his telephone. What did he do? He sold him. Poor Abba. And Abba is a forest. Very interesting. And he owned a forest. And he sold this forest to the worshippers of fire. I mean, it should have been Chayshim. They're going to use the wood to keep burning in the churches.
Well,
so, Zavnei Leveinura. So he didn't just sell the Abba. He sold it to the fire worshippers. I can't do that. I mean, they're going to end up using this. I think you're approving. You're selling them things. It's going to end up in the church. Doesn't seem like a nice thing, like selling the old Beit HaKnesset for the, you know, to the people who claim they're using it as a meeting hall. You know, what kind of meeting hall? Omar Lay said, you don't have to be chashish for that. Because Rovet seem la hasakad nito looking. It's selling a forest. I think you're going to sit there and burn the forest in the church. most of the things that you sell them are going to be used basically for heating purposes or for cooking purposes. And you have to worry about maybe some proportion of it will be used. That's not called lifnei iver. It's just putting something on the fuel market. It has nothing to do with a direct connection to the church at all. So until now, we've discussed the timing issues, and we've concentrated about the terminology of particular points of time. What's included in a year, what's included in a week, what's included in a Shavua, Shemitah, what's included in a Yovel, what's the relationship of the beginning or the end of the times to the time period that we're speaking about. Does a person mean through or does it mean up to? And it depends on the language. We had some that was vague. We didn't have a clear understanding. And we've also discussed the issues of different levels of sfekot, or the mayal inish nafshin sfeka. The last thing that we spoke about was that even though there's maybe, we saw that that was actually a machloket between the sugyas and kedusha and the sugyas and the dorim, there may be a machloket about whether mayal inish nafshin sfeka, the way it appears here, or maybe inverted, the way the Gemara comes out here. But certainly we said that everybody agrees that we're something. The time period that's under discussion is ill-defined, so then, for sure, a person does not have in mind to just assert himself on something that may come out at any particular time. And so there, it certainly means until the time arrives. Yesterday, we were talking about what is meant by the times, the agricultural times, katsir, vatsir, masik, and so on and so forth. Getting back to our sugya, this is the way that Iran understands the sugya now, is that what we were talking about earlier is the question of whether something that doesn't have a clear-cut extended period, like the kayet, talked about the kayet was the time in which you were going to harvest your figs. The problem is that the figs keep appearing. There's no length of time where you can know that this is the end of the kayet. So we said over there, such a thing, ada kayetz, is different than saying ada katsir, ada batsir, ada masik. The problem, however, is, and again, this is the Ron's approach, the problem, however, is that in reality, these are not only things where you cannot define how long they extend, but you can't really give a time in which they're going to begin. So, how do we relate to that? I mean, if a guy, if there's no particular time it refers to, so then we seem definitely to be linking it to an event of some kind. And that event would have to happen in order for me to be Yotze my neder. So if a guy says, let's say I won't drink wine until the katsir. And we said, okay, so ada katsir would mean the beginning of the katsir. But what defines the katsir? What defines the katsir, because of the fact that it cannot be defined in some objective way. It's very dependent on the interrelationship of climate, the actual weather, your location, the height of the area that you're planting in, and so on and so forth. How are we going to define what the katsir is? And it's going to vary tremendously. So it means, achi yatchila am liktzor katsir chitim. The katsir usually refers to the wheat katsir, not the seorim katsir, avlo katsir seorim. And it means the beginning of people actually going out, taking their tractors out. And, of course, hakol lefi makom nidro. I mean, it depends. It's not to say that if in a particular location they don't harvest wheat, and everybody harvests a sorim, that there would also mean wheat. We're talking about what you're familiar with. But it all depends on your location. Imaya bahar, bahar. Imaya bebika, bebika. And obviously, if you live in a valley, that time comes significantly earlier than if you've planted on a mountain. So wherever the area is that you are when you make the neder, that is the way that we define what your neder means. When you say ad ha-gishamim, or you say ad shiyu ha-gishamim, over year two, since the gishamim does not have a period that can be defined, we said yesterday that in that case, even the word ad shiyehe, if you would say ad shiyehe ha-pesach, you mean until it's over. But when you say ad shiyu ha-gishamim, you don't mean until it's over, because you don't know how long that is. It's not defined. So even though that means up until the Gishamim, The question here is another question. You see, the katsir we can't define, but the geshamim is not really dependent on the particular height at which you are, whether you're in the valley or whether you're in the mountains and so on. The geshamim is a season. The season we do define. So now the question is, do you mean the rainy season or do you mean the rains? Now there's a big difference between saying the rains or until the rain. So if you say the rains, you seem to be referring to the actual water that's coming down from the sky. If you're saying until the rain, so then you mean that time of the year, which should be the time that it would rain. And those are two different things. There...
I would prefer that the opposite way.
Okay, that's local usage. So there we say as follows, and again, I'm following the way the Ron learns the sukkah, that be'ikar adin, if you say ad ha-geshem, because of the fact that it does not have a clear time at which it begins, it also is similar to the issues of something that don't have a clear time to end. So if somebody doesn't have a clear time to end, you certainly don't want to be mocked at yourself to a suffix. So where it comes to the katsir, there's no way to define katsir at all. There, obviously, it means that the actual event should happen. Where you're talking about the rains, there are ways to define the rainy season. There's a period in the year which we call, this is the time for the rains to begin, whether they begin or not. So if you say, instead of the geshem, you say the geshamim. So we say, okay, in that case, he's using additional language. He means until the actual rains, perhaps. So which rain does he mean? He means achetered revi'ah shniya. Basically, we split up, as we, if you remember from the Gemara and Ta'anit. So we split up the period of the winter into the early rains, the end of the season and the late rains, and then we have what's known as the revi'ah shniya, the second group of rains. We define that in the Gemara over there according to the period of the year, according to the date. But here it means until the actual Revi'ah Shniya comes down. Whereas Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, it doesn't mean the actual rains. It means Achiyagia Zmanasha Revi'ah. It means until the time at which it's supposed to rain. And if he says Achiyifsiku Gishamim, until the end of the rains, how do you measure that? That's also measured by the period. Achiyet se Nisan kulo, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Even if it rains after Nisan in that year, but if the person's intent was the period which is suitable to rain, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Achiyavor ha-Pesach, that generally, especially in our tefillot, we relate to Pesach as the time of the rain. Tana, hanoder min ha-kayetz b'galil. Somebody lives in the Galil. He makes a neder that refers to the kayetz. But then he goes down Yerad LaAmakim. He goes down at Emek Beit Shan. So Afa Pishi Yia Kayetz BaAmakim. He thinks he's got an easy way out of his neder. You know, I really would like a beer, and I swore off beers. Maybe I'll just drive down to Beit Shan and have a beer. No, it goes according to the way the neder was made. So Afa Pishi Yia Kayetz BaAmakim. Nonetheless, Asur Achia Yia Kayetz BeGalil. That's the point of the Mishnah saying Akol Afi Makom Nidro. That's part of the point. Ada geshamim ach yugeshamim means ach tered reviyashnia, whereas Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says no, it actually means the time, not the real rain. Omer Rebbe Zera, you should know that the machloket yomer ada geshamim, aval omer ada geshem, even the rabbanon or moda that it's only because of the additional language of geshamim. Had you said ada geshem, for sure you mean ad zman geshamim koma. Again, because the main point here is, since it's ill-defined, you're not going to refer to a time that could mean anything. I mean, maybe this year the geshem won't start until God knows. Maybe it won't rain. I mean, you're going to make a neder on something that is so up in the air. So therefore, if he hadn't said ada geshamim to add that additional little word, which obviously must mean something, why didn't he just say ada geshem? We would have interpreted it to mean the time of the Geshem. The Rabbanan hold that the additional Geshamim instead of Geshem means that in this case he is willing to start whenever the Geshem itself starts. But if he said on a Geshem, everybody would agree, just like something that doesn't have a clear-cut end, He doesn't mean to begin it till the end, which he doesn't know. If it doesn't have a clear-cut beginning, he doesn't mean for it to begin at that time either. He means at the time, not when it actually happens. Tevat zman gishamim ka'ama. Beitzeh. Ezehu zmana shel revi'ah. Now, we define over there in Ta'anit, and we'll see in a moment what the purpose is of this definition. What defines the period of the revi'ah of the rain? HaBechira, the first rainy period, is on the third day of Cheshvan. The Beinonit, the second one, is on the seventh day of Cheshvan. And the Afilah, the last one, is on the 23rd day of Cheshvan. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, the first one is on the 7th. The second one is on the 17th, Bishiva Asar. And the final one, I agree with you, is on the 23rd. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, the first one is on the 17th. The second one is on the 23rd. And the third one is Rosh Chodesh Kislev, it should say. It's on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. V'chein haya Rabbi Yossi Omer, ein ha-yechidim mit'anim ad she'yageh Rosh Chodesh Kislev. That indeed, the third, and this the third one is the one in which Talmidei Chachamim have to start fasting, if it hasn't rained yet. That's if it's Rosh Chodesh Kislev, that's when they start fasting.
Where do you get these dates from? How do they calculate
it? It's only like a couple of
statistics.
It's just like a couple of weeks between the first and the last, even though really in the
it's worse than that. The rains are a function of the solar year, and this is the lunar year. So this has to do with the relationship that we have to the seasons. Right? Otherwise, it's a little bit absurd.
So is the rain supposed to follow our lunar calendar?
Just like the menses. Right? Mm-hmm. If Besdin decides it's Rosh Chodesh, that the Chodesh is now put off, so too are the menses put off. That's the halacha.
The rains don't seem to go according to the
Just because nowadays, yeah, that's right. Just because nowadays we don't have much of a real, it's all random. So in terms of random, the plain statistics obviously will follow the solar year.
But
that's not the way Tfila works. That's not the way Tinus works.
Solar year can't be random, Rabbi. But they used to work, maybe the season used to follow when they were so connected.
Could be, so, yeah. Enochinami. The same. When you live in a random world, so then Enochinami, you don't see the correlation. So, the Abrinan Allah. So now, the Gemara over there said, okay, what is this all about? What are you talking about? Well, first, secondly, is it some halacha? Yes. Bisham Riviyah Rishona. You want to define what the first rains are. Of course, you need to define what the first rains are in order to define when you're going to say Vetein Talumata. You're going to say Vetein Talumatar, the time it isn't right for rain. So the Revi'ah Rishona is indeed a machloket over here, whether it's on the 3rd or the 7th or the 17th, that's in terms of what point in the year we begin to say Vetein Talumatar Lebracha. Now, the last one I also understand. The last one is clearly, as we indicated here, that's to define when Talmidei Chachamim, or called Yechidim, when they should fast. What halacha is associated with the Revi'ah Shniyah? There's no halacha associated with a time called the Revi'ah Shniyah. Shniyah Lamai. So comes along Rabbi Zera there in Ta'anit, and it says, it's talking about Lenoder. Somebody made a neder out of Geshamim, so he's usher until this time, which is the Revi'ah Shniyah. Therefore, we have a machloket about what is that Revi'ah Shniyah. So now that could work out just fine in a case we would say Ad HaGeshem. Because then we said everybody would agree that we're talking about a time. We're not talking about the actual Yerida. So if that's the case, we need to define the time. Now, so we haven't gotten to our question yet. The problem is, continues the sugi there, Kaman Oz Lohada Tanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Yeshamim Shiyardu, Shivat Yamim, Zeacha Zeh, Atamonevehem Reviyah Rishona Ushniya. Now this is fascinating. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel comes along and he says, very interesting. the halacha would be that if you have 7 straight days of rain, that would be both the Riviyah Rishonah and the Riviyah Shniya. What is that supposed to mean? The Riviyah Shniya doesn't mean anything. There's no particular halacha that's dependent on Riviyah Shniya at all.
But if in December there is a Shniya, I have to know what the Shlishit is.
No, the Shlishit's not dependent on the Rishonah Shniya.
As a date.
If the Rosh Chodesh comes and it hasn't rained, you're supposed to, that's the time of the Shlishit, right?
It's only 3 days anyway. There's not much difference anyway, it's just a few days.
Doesn't matter what happens.
If you bring Shenis forward.
Right. It's irrelevant. A hair breadth is a difference. It's not, the point isn't the difference. The point is to analyze who he's going according to the breath. Okay. So whatever it is he means, we're going to have to analyze what he means, because that's going to be where the kasha lies. But whatever it is that he means, first of all, let's identify who he's going according to. Because is there a man d'yomar who has 7 days between the Revi'ah Rishona and the Revi'ah Shniya? That's our first question. So, Kamana, Zlatatani Rav Shimon Gamliel, who would it be going according to? It would be going to only Kaman Rav Yossi. Because according to Rav Yossi, we start at the 17th, and the second one is the 23rd, which means that if it rained 7 days straight, it went from the 17th to rain on the 23rd. So now we have the Revi'ah Rishona and the Revi'ah Shniya. According to Rav Yehuda, we've got more. According now to the other Shita, we've got less. Okay. So according to Rabbi Meir, we don't have 7 days. According to Rav Yehuda, we have more than 7 days. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is trying to say something. What's he trying to say? What's it? Nogea. We said it's only Nogea and Noder. If Rav Shimon ben Gamliel means anything, the only thing he can mean is that, look, it's true that back in the Mishnah and the Dorim, I said that we go according to the time and not according to the rain. You claim that we go according to the rain, the actual rain, and not according to the time. But what I'm trying to say to you is, look, according to you, if you need to have actual rain, and it actually did rain, the only thing is, it was one rain that went from the Revi'ah Rishona to the Revi'ah Shniya. You're saying it has to be the actual second rain, and it's independent in time. Would you say that even if it rained the entire time, it's considered to be the first rain? So therefore, I'm saying to you, you're not being very clear, because you're saying the second rain. So it has to be a second period of rain, and if it would have rained the whole time, then it's not considered to be the second rain. At least agree that the time that's roy for the second rain is the second rain if it actually rained. That would be his time.
The first rain is the second rain, automatically.
Whatever. Fine, whatever you want to call it. But the point is, it's already the second rain.
He's proving his points that...
He's saying, according to me, I couldn't care less if it did rain or it didn't rain. Because the day is here, the netter's over. According to you, that it matters if it rains specifically, at least agree that the way to define the rain that actually fell is in terms of the time. See, even though technically speaking, you say, well, that was only one rain. It was a heck of a storm, but it was only one rain. But at least over here, the fact that it's the second time, in terms of the times, should make it the second rain, even though physically it's only the first rain. Fine, that's what he's trying to tie now, Libra the Rabbon, right? Okay, but that means that we're talking about the actual time of the rain. I thought everybody agreed that if you say Adad Geshem, which is the norm, that would be what the netter would be until the rain, until the rainy season. But didn't we just say, according to Rebbe Zera, everybody agrees in that case, that of course you don't mean the actual rains. So what is he talking? He does not seem to be saying anything. Because the actual rains are irrelevant even according to the Rabbanan. So what is he saying? At least Rabbanan should be made that the actual rains relate to some extent to the times. We don't even hold you need the actual rains. Rebbe Zera said all you need is the time of the rains even according to the Rabbanan and arguing Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel. How do you explain that? Answers, Rabbi Zeir, we'll have to say the Hudon Rada Geshamim. But we're not talking about a case over there, the normal case, where a guy says Ad HaGeshem. We're talking about where a guy says Ad HaGeshamim. Therefore, in that case, the Rabbanan indeed would claim you have to have actual rain. Comes from Shimon Gamliel and says, okay, but at least be made that the actual rain is considered to be the second rain if it's at the second time and had started earlier on the first time. That's still called the second rain. That's all the point would be. Tana, le'yavad Hashem l'kech l'shmo b'kolo l'dof kabo, sh'lo yomar ha'da mikra shikru'ni chacham, shanei shikru'ni rabi, shanei shi'e zaken v'yishiv b'yishiva, אלא למוד מאהבה בסוף הכבוד לבוא, שלמה קשרים על אצבותיך, כותבים על לוח ליבך, דרכיה דרכי נועם, עץ חיים מלמחזיקים בה, ותומכיה מאושר. ורבליעזר ברבי צדוק אומר, עשה דברים לשם פה עולם, ודבר בהם לשמה. אל תעשה מטרה להתגדל בהם, ואל תעשה קורדם להיות משתמש, להיות עודר בו. וקו החומר, ומה הבל שצר שלא נשתמש אלו בכלי קודש, שנעשו כלי כל נעקר מן העולם, המשתמש בכתרה של תורה על אחת כמה וכמה. אומר רובר ננדלס, שורי לילין שלו דוי נפשי באתר דוליון אלי, דכתיב יעבדך יורי את השם מנעוריו. זאת אומרת, רבי טרפן, שייני רבי טרפן, דשיר גדול היה, הווי לילה פייסי בדמים. רובר רומי, כתיב יעבדך יורי את השם מנעוריו, וכתיב, on the other hand, יללוך זר ולא פיך. And he answered, ha biyatra di yadile, ha biyatra di yadile. Oma rava shorga the tzurba mirabona la meima, tzurba mirabona nana, shorga li tigroi beresha, tehtiv uvnei David kohanim ayo. Vechi bnei David kohanim, ela ma kohen notel berosh, afta mit chacham notel berosh. Vekohen min olon, tehtiv vekidashto, ki et lechem alokeche umakrib, ותונה דבי רבי ישמע וקידשתו לכל דבר שבקדושה. לפתוח ראשון, לברך ראשון, ליטול מנה יפה ראשון. אומר רוב השור אלה לצומי מרבן למרמה לא יבין אחר. וכתיב מין דבלו והלך, לא שליק למרמה עליהם. אומר רבי יהודה, מין דה זו מנת המלך, בלו זה כסף גוגלתה, הלך זו הנונה. ואומר רוב השור אלה לצומי מרבן למרמה עבדה דנורה ענה. Lo yavina acharga, my time, it's clear to everybody what his intent is. Then it's lafruchi aryeh minei ka'omar. Ravashi avin le'ahu haba, zavni le'vein nura. Omar le'i ravina le'ravashi ha'ika lifnei yiver lo titen b'kshol. Omar le'i rova ha'itzim la'asaka nitnum. Ad ha'katzir, ad she'atchila am le'ktzor, k'tir chitim, avalo k'tir sorim, ha'kol afim makom nidro. Im haya bahar, bahar, im haya bebika, bebika. Ad ha-geshamim, or ad she-yu ha-geshamim, means ad she-tered rivi-yashniya. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, ad she-yagia zmana shel rivi-yah. If he says, ad she-yifzeku ke-shamim, so then he means ad she-yatei nisan, kolodim Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad she-yavor ha-pesach. Tanya ha-noder min ha-kayetz be-galil, v'yarad la-amakim, av ha-pi she-yigia ha-kayetz ba-amakim, asur ad she-yagia ha-kayetz be-galil. עד הגשמים, עד שיהיו גשמים, עד שתרד רביעה שנייה. רב שמעון גמליאל אומר, עד שיגיע זמנה. אומר רבי זר, the whole מחלוקת is the אומר עד הגשמים. אבל אמר, עד הגשם, עד זמן גשמים, כאומר. מרית ואיזוהי זמנה של רביעה, הבחירה בשלישי, בחשוון, בינונית בשבעה, התחילה ב-23, בדבר רבי מאיר. רבי ידע אומר, the dates are בשבעה, ב-17 וב-23. רבי יוסי אומר, it starts on 17. ב-23, and then ראש חודש כסלו. וכן היה רבי יוסי אומר, אין היחידים מתענים עד שיגיע ראש חודש כסלו. ואמינו, לא. So, בשלום הרביעה הראשונה, is נוגע להלוך ולהישאל, ותן תל ומטר. שלישית, is נוגע להלוך ולהתענות. אבל שנייה, what הלוך is נוגע רביעה שנייה? למה? Omer Rebbe Zera, the case would be Eino Der. Now, the problem is that Aminan Allah, Keman Ozo de Tanya, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Gishamim Shiyordu, Shivat Yamim, Zeach Rezeh, Ata Monebem Reviyah Rishana Ushniya. What the heck is that supposed to mean? Unless it means that Aliba the Rabbana, we should count that single rain because it occurs at the time of the second rain. Also, the Reviya Shniya. And yet, Rabbi Zera holds that it's Nogea only the time and not the actual rain anyway. And we said over there that's going 7 days. He was referring to Rabbi Yossi, but it's not Nogea at all. It is Nogea, because Avudi Omar, Ada Gishamim. Brilliant, brilliant pshat, this pshat. The Ron's pshat. There's so many forced pshatim in that Gemara. I'm telling you, he really, really did something marvelously. Okay.